Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm your host, Ruth Amos. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. In this podcast, I chat to all sorts of normal Christians, asking them just how they live their quiet lives and how they integrate their faith into their daily lives. I hope that by listening, you will be encouraged to go out and live your own quiet life to the glory of God. You can find the episode show notes, the Quiet Life blog, and other resources at ruthamos.com.au. That's ruthamos.com.au. Now let's get on with the show. Hello, I'm Ruth. It's so great to be here with you. This is episode 66 of A Quiet Life, and as I record this, it is Wednesday, the 13th of May 2020. And this week's episode is chapter 10 of My Year of Saying No. And I just thought I'd remind you that if you want to know where we've come from, or if you would like to read ahead faster than I'm recording this on the podcast, then you can find My Year of Saying No as an ebook in most of the ebook outlets, so Amazon, Apple, Kobo, anywhere. And you can get it as a paperback either by writing to me, ruth@ruthamos.com.au, or whatever, however you get in touch with me, or you can find it on Amazon as a paperback, or you can find it in the Koorong website as a paperback. So it's there. It's available for you. You may have to dig a little deep, but I haven't sold millions of copies yet, believe it or not, but feel free to go ahead and find it. All right, the last week in my life was really dominated by my daughter being unwell. And she had a virus of some sort, and they don't really know what it was, but it wasn't COVID-19. But it wasn't fun, and she was quite unwell. She went into the ER a couple of times, and because she's in Canberra and I'm in Tasmania, it was hard. It was a hard week. And I just want to say on this podcast just how grateful I am for the prayers of everybody who responded to my call out for prayer on Facebook, because it just meant so much to me to be supported by those prayers and the loving thoughts from people who don't have faith. But for us who do, for our family, to know that people were praying, it just means so much. And to know that we have a God who does care for us and how we can trust him, even if the outcome isn't exactly what we want it to be, we can trust him with the outcome. It just, every time you go through a tough thing, like people keep saying on all the interviews I do, when do I feel close to God? When times are tough, I feel close to God. And this was what the last week was like for me. So on Mother's Day, Jess rang me up with a video chat so that I could see that she was alive and well and, you know, sitting up and happy and able to do things. And that was wonderful. And I'm very grateful to the Lord for healing her and bringing her back to somewhere approaching normal. I think she's going to do a fair bit of movie watching and sitting on the couch doing nothing this week, but I think she should be back up to scratch soon. So that's just really, really wonderful, and I'm very, very grateful for it. Sunday was Mother's Day. I don't do a lot with the Mother's Day. In fact, Caleb was at his girlfriend's place on Sunday. They said, what does your mum do for Mother's Day? And he said, well, sometimes Dad and I go out and give her the house to herself. And you know, that is a beautiful Mother's Day present for me. I love it. He also made me a card, so that's all right. But the fun thing was that Moz and I decided to go for a drive. We need to take a photo of the mountain for a project we're doing, and we need the photo of the mountain to be from the Cornelian Bay Cemetery. So Sunday dawning, chilly but clear, we thought, well, let's go out for a drive and take this photo. Well, we just didn't think at all about the fact that this is probably the busiest day of the year for cemeteries, because people go and lay flowers on their mother's graves and things like this for Mother's Day. It just hadn't occurred to us. And it showed me that, you know, you don't know what your blind spots are, really, do you? You need to keep searching out, talking to people and figuring it out. But this was obviously one big blind spot that I didn't know that I had. So we had a lovely wander around the cemetery. It was a beautiful sacred space. Actually, being in that sacred space showed me just how much I'm missing being in church buildings at this point in time. Because it just felt so special to be in the graveyard around all the graves. But it was lovely. And we did not take the camera and the tripod out of the car. We thought that would just be completely inappropriate. And it was quite funny. And then we popped in the car again and came back home. So we will go there on another day and take photos at the cemetery. So yeah, the other thing that if you read my novels, which are published under R.J. Amos, you might be interested to know that the latest draft of The Latest Deadly Miss has come through another milestone. So Moz has read Deadly Miscalculation and he likes most of it. And there's just a few little corrections that I need to do before I can send it off to my editor to have a look at. So I'm excited. That's close to now. Well, it's closer. It's another step closer to publication. So yeah, if you are looking forward to reading my next novel, I have to say we've crossed another step. We're going to get there. So I just thought I'd let you know that. Anyway, that'll do for now, and I'll let you have a listen to Chapter 10 of My Year of Saying No, talking about appointments and having space in your life. July. In July, I thought about the time and effort I was investing in my writing. I wondered whether it would all be worth it. In God's economy, things are a bit different, and I wondered if the point was that my failures and pathetic writings would be valuable just as an encouragement to someone else to start walking in faith. Would the point of the exercise just be that I learn how to fail? Finishing holidays and returning to work was difficult. It took one day to feel completely exhausted again, to feel like I was losing my mind. I wondered how I had allowed myself to be so overextended, so overloaded. At the same time, I was scared to leave the job. Every time I told someone I was leaving, I felt more crazy for doing it. Who was I to think I could make a living from my writing? Who was I to think that other people would want to read what I write? I wanted a concrete sign from God that this is what he wanted me to do. But at the same time, I felt that God was wanting me to walk in faith. And I had the peace between Moz and myself. That would have to do. Walking in faith is not easy. Everyone's stories are told at the end, when you see it all coming together and you understand how necessary the struggles are on the way through. But when you're in the middle, jumping out of the boat, the journey is not that easy. Chapter 10, Appointments and Margin. Imagine this. You are at a meeting with your supervisor and your student. The meeting is to look at the student's past year of work and make a plan for the next few months. You are the person who is responsible for guiding the student through the next section of their work. You need to be totally present, thinking of all the options and issues that may appear in the future. The meeting starts at 10:30, and you have scheduled a coffee with a friend at 11:30. The meeting should have only taken half an hour, but things are difficult to understand and nut out. Conversations go around in circles, and any time you try to clarify, another option or issue rears its ugly head. As the clock ticks on, you become more and more distracted, wondering if there is a way to get a message to your friend without looking bad. You cease to concentrate on the job in hand. You are now doing bad work, as well as feeling stressed. Or here's another example. You pick up your mother each Friday morning at 9 a.m., have a coffee with her, and drop her off at her church for her prayer meeting at 10:15. That works well most weeks, but this week you have a doctor's appointment in town at 10:30. Once again, sitting in the cafe with your mother, you are constantly checking your watch. The problem is not getting from church to town, the problem is parking. If it all goes smoothly, you'll be fine. But if there's a lot of people in the multi-story car park, you'll be 10 minutes late for the appointment, and who knows, they may just cancel, assuming you're not coming. You don't hear a word your mother says as your brain visualises the car park, the parking meters near the surgery, the road on the way there. You hustle your mother out of the car at the prayer meeting. Your stress levels are through the roof. These are two situations I have narrowly avoided. Marcia Ramsland, a professional organiser, suggests strongly that we put space around her appointments, and I agree with her. Here's how I solved my problems. When I found out that I had a 10:30 meeting before the regular coffee date with my friend Naomi, I sent her a text message. I told her that I would be in a meeting, and I had no idea how long it would take. I asked if we could have a bit of flexibility as to when we met for coffee, if I could send her another message when the meeting finished, so we could meet up after that. She was totally accommodating. Now I could concentrate when I needed to, and I could still meet my friend. The first meeting went for an hour and a half, so I was very glad I had acted. My mother came up with the answer to my second situation. I told her about the doctor's appointment and she suggested that we go into town and have coffee near the surgery. Then she took a taxi to her prayer meeting, easily done as the taxi stand was near the cafe in town and the taxi didn't have to find parking. In general, I try to give myself at least 10 minutes between appointments, half an hour if possible, as much wiggle room as I can. Travel takes time, meetings go overtime, parking isn't always available close to the place that you need to be. There are always little jobs that you can squeeze into the half hour between appointments. I take my journal with me everywhere so I can write in it. I also tend to take my Kindle so I can read if I have time. Or I'll take a research article that I need to work my way through. I have a large handbag, can you tell? That half hour can be used to give you time to think about life for a bit, time to ponder and dream. On the other hand, overlapping appointments are going to cause you stress as well as annoying the person you are late for. It's not worth it. What does this have to do with saying no? Again, it's having those rules in place for yourself. If someone asks you to attend a meeting, come for coffee, or do a task that will overlap with another meeting or appointment scheduled on your calendar, then the answer just has to be no, or at least not today. Don't try to squeeze the most possible into your day. Give yourself breathing space. It will make your life better. Part of the problem is that we get a kick out of being busy. We feel important when we are busy. When someone asks how we are, we sigh and say, oh, I'm so busy. We race from activity to activity. We have no time to cook, no time to read, no time to stop and ponder the imponderables of life. It's not good. We know it, but we find it difficult to change. The book I found most helpful when thinking about my busy life is Margin, Restoring Emotional, Physical, Financial and Time Reserves to Overloaded Lives by Richard Swenson. Swenson is convinced that many illnesses of our age are caused by our rushing, overloaded, frantic, busy lives. I can well believe him. He has come up with the idea of allowing margin in our lives so that we have space to spill over when we need to. Just as good money management means living within your means, making sure you have enough money to cover your expenses and a little left over for when things don't go according to plan, Swenson suggests we budget our time with margin built in. Time to do what we need to do and some time left over. Then the margin in our time can be used to reach out to others, to connect with our families, to give us space to be able to give of ourselves. Now, I must be a bit daft, but when I first read that, I thought that it meant that I needed to squeeze yet more into my day, that I would have to give time to family and friends, have more people over for dinner and so on, as well as all that I was already doing. It made me panic a bit. If there's one thing I can't do, it's squeeze more into my day. But no. He's suggesting that we take activities out of our days and as a regular thing we have space that is not allocated. This space would usually be used for regeneration, for relaxation and rest. But if an emergency comes up, we would use that space to adjust for the emergency. We could drop everything to help someone out because the only thing we would be dropping is our regular evening in front of the fire reading a book. Ramsland is also worried about how much we're trying to fit into each week. Her advice is not to go out any more than 4 evenings a week. I find that is excellent advice to follow. In fact, I don't do evenings very well, so even 4 evenings a week is beyond me. I've found that I needed to work out how much margin I needed each week and book that in without feeling guilty about it. I needed to decide that time for me to rest and rejuvenate, to walk and read, to look after myself and my family, that time is just as important as meeting with, looking after, and taking care of other people and other people's priorities. But I needed to book it into my calendar. Once it is booked in, I can say no easily to many things because I have made the decision already, in the past, not in the present when I'm feeling under pressure from the person asking me. So I can just look at my calendar and say, I'm all booked, sorry, can we do Wednesday week instead? It's a much better way to go than overloading yourself, stressing about it, and resenting the person for needing the time that you just don't have to give. And also, if there is a genuine crisis, you have time to be there. One of my blog readers, when reading about budgeting our time, commented, bills just keep coming. And I can see what he's saying. We can go through times of crisis where money is tight, bills keep coming, and we have no way to get through without going into debt or something, something we would prefer to avoid. We can go through the same thing with time. There are times when the appointments come thick and fast. We are wrapping up a special project at work or renovating the house before Christmas. I remember feeling this way at the end of my honours year. There's a deadline ahead and we need to push to get there. We fill up every spare corner of our calendar. We are stretched and we have to keep going, overwhelmed, but we just must keep going. You know, this is fine for a short period, but if your life feels like this every single week, then I suggest that you might need to make some hard decisions and remove some of the tasks you have given yourself. You are not meant to keep going at breakneck speed forever. We need rest. It will be worth the time spent to look at your time budget and get it under control. I promise. You may not have many appointments on your calendar right now, but things are starting to open up, so now might be a good time to get a handle on putting some space in between appointments on your calendar. I'd love to hear how you go with that. Next week, I chat with Marion, and we start by talking about how when she was a baby in Africa, an eye surgeon operated on her to deal with her appendicitis. So tune in next week to hear more of that amazing story, and many more amazing stories. As always, special thanks to Catherine Joy from Joy Music House for the music for this podcast. And I'd love you to share this podcast with anyone for whom you think it will be helpful. And I will chat with you again next week.